Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem.
Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I've only been in ministry, well, I've only been a Christian, but how long? I don't know.
No, long time.
I still am amazed. Every day I'm amazed at the love of God. And thank you for letting us come and share this day with you, because it's a special day. It's a special time. And it's a time to remember. Jesus said to us that we had to remember. And I always thought, that's a bit daft, won't you? I won't forget. But as Jen said, yeah, we do. We get on with our lives. After all, that's God's gift, isn't it? And we forget. How can you do that, John? Oh, easily. I get busy. Busy must be successful. No, it's not. But anyway, that wasn't what I came to say, really. This is supposed to be just a reflection, all right? It's not a preach. But unfortunately, preachers have a habit of breaking those rules. Okay, so forgive me, yes. I just think about it. It's a time to remember, and it is so important to remember who Jesus is and what he has done. And today, if ever, was a day when we need to know that and be assured of that, it's today. There's so much rubbish in the world, there's so much darkness in the world, there's so many lies in the world. There are so many faiths in the world. You know, the lie, one of the greatest clever lies of Satan is, faith can save you. No, 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 faith can't. Jesus can. My faith can just give me an opportunity to sit on a seat without it breaking down. So my faith is I sit down on the seat and I trust it will help me. That's brilliant, but it's not going to save me. Anyway, we'll come to that another day. I think the shock of this Holy Week for me and for many is this dreadful betrayal and the violence, the picture of Jesus there on the cross, and the violence of the reaction of the people who knew Jesus was coming, the people who were waiting for him to come, and they were blind to that. And that it was, you know, just days ago that Palm Sunday was celebrated when the crowd shouted Hosanna and they welcomed him in. Hosanna meaning Saviour. Okay. And a matter of almost hours later, having welcomed him in as a conquering king with palms and songs and everything else, they are now saying, take him away, crucify him. And our Bibles and the story we've read from Isaiah records that the dreadful betrayal, the false arrest, the way Jesus was disowned, he was mocked, he was flogged within an inch of his death. And then he was insulted, insulted. He was spat upon, he was humiliated. This is our Lord Jesus. How could this be? I find it shocking, even though I know how it could be. And how does Jesus respond? Luke reports that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In this culture today of blame, okay, I want to know who's responsible. John reports in his gospel, Jesus' last words, he said, it is finished. What is? In Genesis 2, God warns Adam and Eve that sin will lead to death. But God the Father put in place this rescue plan to reconcile sinful man to a holy God. And with Jesus' death, that plan was complete. That was finished. It was done. And prophesied by Isaiah, that we've read, Isaiah 53, 700 years before it happened, Jesus the innocent comes to Jerusalem to die for the guilty. Who are the guilty? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who are the guilty? God so loved the world that he gave his Son. God sent Christ to die for us sinners. We are the guilty. It is for us that he died, that we might live. The cross is a stark, and even that one is a wonderful reminder of the extent of God's love for us, for you and for me, the guilty. That he uniquely offers us a clean sheet. In the goodness of God, in spite of our rebellion, he stretches out his arms and calls us to come to him in repentance and faith, to find the forgiveness and peace that he knows that we need. Today at the cross, we have re-experienced that sense of overwhelming love and forgiveness. As we've taken communion, we've reminded ourselves of that huge cost to God of our peace and forgiveness. And I thought about today. What else about today in today's culture? I think it caused us to think, remember, the dangerous fickleness of the crowd, the herd mentality that still exists today. Beware what the crowd is shouting today. Don't be drawn away from him by that shout. That's what happened in Jerusalem. And another thing occurred to me. What should I remember? I should remember Christ's rejection, for we too may have to suffer similar rejection. If we are true to the call of Christ in our lives to witness for him, then we are going to find ourselves rejected. And what's so wonderful is he already understands that. And he says, I know, I will be with you, follow me. To give us courage for the days ahead. Because we're going to need it, brothers and sisters, I promise you. The days are coming when we will need to be courageous. And we will need absolutely to know that Jesus is with us and who he is and what he's done. And the good news of Good Friday is that the cross of Christ is our forgiveness forged. The cross of Christ is our peace agreed. The cross of Christ is our future assured. And the other thing about Good Friday is that Sunday is coming.
Yes.
That's good news, isn't it?